The Hunchback of Notre Dame by Victor Hugo, Book the Second, Chapter 2. The Place de Grève. There remains today but a very imperceptible vestige of the Place de Grève, such as it existed then. It consists in the charming little turret which occupies the angle north of the place, and which, already enshrouded in the ignoble plaster which fills with paste the delicate lines of its sculpture, would soon have disappeared, perhaps submerged by that flood of new houses which so rapidly devours all the ancient facades of Paris. The persons who, like ourselves, never crossed the Place de Grève without casting a glance of pity and sympathy on that poor turret strangled between two hovels of the time of Louis XV, can easily reconstruct in their minds the aggregate of edifices to which it belonged, and find again entire in it the ancient Gothic place of the 15th century. It was then, as it is today, an irregular trapezoid, bordered on one side by the quay, and on the other three by a series of lofty, narrow, and gloomy houses. By day one could admire the variety of its edifices, all sculptured in stone or wood, and already presenting complete specimens of the different domestic architectures of the Middle Ages, running back from the 15th to the 11th century, from the casement, which had begun to dethrone the arch, to the Roman semicircle, which had been supplanted by the ogive, and which still occupies below it the first story of that ancient house de la Tour Roland, at the corner of the place upon the Seine, on the side of the street, with the tannery. At night, one could distinguish nothing of all that mass of buildings except the black indentation of the roofs, unrolling their chain of acute angles round the place, for one of the radical differences between the cities of that time and the cities of the present day lay in the facades which looked upon the places and streets, and which were then gables. For the last two centuries the houses have been turned round. In the center of the eastern side of the place rose a heavy and hybrid construction, formed of three buildings placed in juxtaposition. It was called by three names which explain its history, its destination, and its architecture. The House of the Dauphin, because Charles V, when Dauphin, had inhabited it. The Marchandise, because it had served as town hall. And the Pillared House, Domus ad Piloria, because of a series of large pillars which sustained the three stories. The city found there all that is required for a city like Paris, a chapel in which to pray to God, a plaidoyer, or pleading room, in which to hold hearings, and to repel, at need, the king's people, and under the roof, an arsenac full of artillery. For the bourgeois of Paris were aware that it is not sufficient to pray in every conjuncture, and to plead for the franchises of the city, and they had always in reserve in the garret of the town hall a few good rusty arquebuses. The Grève had then that sinister aspect which it preserves today from the execrable ideas which it awakens, and from the sombre town hall of Dominique Bocadour, which has replaced the pillared house. It must be admitted that a permanent gibbet and a pillory, a justice and a ladder, as they were called in that day, erected side by side in the center of the pavement, contributed not a little to cause eyes to be turned away from that fatal place where so many beings full of life and health have agonized, where 50 years later that fever of St. Valier was destined to have its birth. That terror of the scaffold, the most monstrous of all maladies, because it comes not from God, but from man. It is a consoling idea, let us remark in passing, to think that the death penalty, which 300 years ago still encumbered with its iron wheels, its stone gibbets, and all its paraphernalia of torture, permanent and riveted to the pavement, the Grève, the Halle, the Place Dauphine, the Cross du Trahour, the Mars aux Poissons, that hideous Montfaucon, the Barrier des Sorgentes, the Place aux Chartes, the Port Saint-Denis-Champeau, the Port Baudet, the Port Saint-Jacques, without reckoning the innumerable ladders of the provosts, the bishop of the chapters of the abbots, of the priors who had the decree of life and death, without reckoning the judicial drownings in the River Seine. It is consoling today, after having lost successively all the pieces of its armor, its luxury of torment, its penalty of imagination and fancy, its torture for which it reconstructed every 5 years a leather bed at the Grand Châtelet, that ancient suzerain of feudal society, almost expunged from our laws and our cities, hunted from code to code, chased from place to place, has no longer in our immense Paris any more than a dishonored corner of the Grève, than a miserable guillotine, furtive, uneasy, shameful, which seems always afraid of being caught in the act, so quickly does it disappear after having dealt its blow. The end of Book the Second, Chapter 2 of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Read by Rick Kishner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.